It is 4:44 on Downtown. Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan in the house with us. Hello, sir.
Hi.
Welcome back.
It's still looking a lot like Christmas.
Great.
But I'm ready for Bastille Day.
Yeah.
I heard you mention Bastille Day last week as the sort of the end game for school days, and I've been thinking about Bastille Day ever since.
And someone tell me it was their favorite holiday.
Was it a former member of the French aristocracy?
Yeah, no, that was the...
Because that'd be ironic.
Would have expected something closer to that. But
what's your last name? Robespierre. Yeah. Oh, it's, but in Maine, you'd pronounce it like Robesperry.
Right.
So there you go. Gosh, why are we here? Oh, that's right, wine. And I hope wine. You've got a store of it, because you're going to need it. And today we're going to talk about closures of wine.
Mm.
Perhaps to best equip you to remove said closures so that you can start drinking. And if you, like I, have already had multiple children screaming and destroying your house today, you might need to delve into it. Yeah, as soon as the kids came home from their half day, it's like, so we've arranged play dates. Really, here? Oh, good.
Oh, well, got to go do the radio now. But it's only 1 o'clock. That's okay.
Oh, geez.
Preparation.
I did start prepping a little early. Got to go clear the car and such.
There you go.
So, yeah, like I said, we're talking about closures today, and that's not the sort of closure that a lot of people need psychologically, but this is, of course, the closure of wine bottles. Last week, we talked about bottles and sort of how they started to come into generalized use as the mode de choix of transporting wine. Of course, you know, cork forever was the choice, but... then, of course, we've got some nice alternate closure methods that we're going to talk about and try to, you know, I keep trying to get people past the stigma of those alternate closure methods. So we'll talk a little bit about why those exist and why you shouldn't be afraid to see something beyond good old cork. But what is cork? Because I think this is kind of fun. This is kind of interesting. Cork is made out of a substance. It's called a hydrophobic substance, and I'll bet you can figure out what that is. It repels water, right? It's called Subarin, not Subaru, which is what probably half of you are driving home right now, and God bless you for it, but Subarin. And it's found in the bark of the Quercus suber, which is the cork oak, and most of those are found in Southwest Europe and Northwest Africa. Most of those are found in Portugal, in the region of Montado. Excuse me, and that's about 50% of annual production of all cork anywhere is made there. You've all obviously held cork. Its elasticity, its impermeability make it great to stop up wine. It's been used since the mid to late 1600s and pretty much continually since then. And it's actually a pretty environmentally friendly thing. Cork trees typically live about 300 years, and they start producing at 25 years, so it's obviously something you've got to, you know, look to do and plant nurseries of it and then wait. But of course, that's very similar to wine. I mean, you can't plant vines and expect to get, you know, a lot of fruit that you can make great wine out of immediately either. So wine, as you can see, is an industry that takes time to make quality product. You harvest these trees. It's kind of interesting. Every 9 years, right? So you pick your trees, you harvest them, and then for 9 years, you can't even touch those trees until the cork reaches desirable thicknesses. And most of those companies that do the cork, by the way, have really long-term contracts with a lot of the best houses. So when I've been lucky enough to go around the various wineries, one thing that actually the wine producers, they're very proud about this. If they've got good, corks and good contracts and especially the length of the cork, you know, nice long corks that are going to make sure that they stop up that wine, they'll tell you, they'll bring it up, and they're very proud of it. It costs more. It's a more important thing to them than you'd expect, but it really does make a difference. Well, Eric, why does it make a difference? I'm so glad I asked. Wine breathes through corks, right? Or the question is, does it? Yes, it does. There are natural cracks and fissures in cork that allow some gas flow, oxygen being the obvious ones. However, because of that elasticity, when corks are under compression, like in a bubbly wine, it stops up that oxygen and creates an impermeable seal so that you still have bubbly wine, say 6 months or 10 years from the time when it was put in that bottle. But because of those cracks and fissures, the wine can, you know, kind of seep into that cork. And of course you want that to maintain, you know, a little bit of that moisture, and so it stays nice and expanded in the mouth of the wine bottle. But what about corkage? What is corkage? I'm so glad I asked myself again. Corkage, trichloroanisole. It is a chemical substance that exists in cork. It's naturally in there in about 5 to 10% of all cork. Certainly, of course, you've heard us talk about it on this segment before. It's a very real thing. So if there's some in that cork and the wine touches it, your wine will not taste good. It will not smell good. And therefore, you are not going to want to drink it. And the producers really desperately don't want that to happen, because you might be turned off from their wine. You might be turned off from wine in general. And wouldn't that be a shame? Because there's so many people, of course, I've met that say, well, I don't like wine. Well, why? Well, I tried it and I didn't like it. Well, if you had a wine that was corked that smelled like the bilge of a, you know, sailboat, you probably wouldn't be too into wine and probably be sitting there wondering why all these other people are really into wine. And by the way, if you ever get a corked wine, and you will if you buy enough wines with cork in it, and it smells bad, smells like a rotten potato or, the you know, a musty library or something like that, put the cap back in, put the cork back in, bring it back to the wine shop. Don't drink all of it, because I can't help you then. But if you do bring back corked wine, we can send it back up the chain, because the producers know that this is a thing and they allow for it. They make exceptions for it in their budget or everything. So, you know, they understand that there's going to be some loss due to corkage. So it's up to you to sort of recognize it and then bring it back in, and we'll make it right, of course, at our store, and many other fine wine merchants will do the same, of course. Now, knowing that trichloroanisole, TCA, corkage happens in 5 to 10% of all bottles, what do you do about that? Well, that's when we come to these alternative closures, right? And this is why, folks, when you go in, you're going to see screw caps. You're going to see fake cork. You're going to see Stelvins, which I'll talk about in a second. Zorks, all sorts of weird alternative not corks, right, that are going to stop up that wine. Why? I mean, they look so unattractive. Right, but none of them have trichloroanisole in them. And therefore, if you're at risk of losing 5 to 10% of your product to ruin, and you really don't want that to happen, well, then you have alternatives, and you don't have to let that happen. First, the most obvious, of course, is screw caps, and the wine we're drinking today. By the way, I brought... This is one of my snow day wines. This is Vieille Ferme. This is the Perrin family I've talked about a million times, from the southern Rhone Valley, rather, in France. This is their everyday vin de pays, which I absolutely love. So I keep bottles of this at my house all the time. So this is my emergency. What am I going to bring to Rich? I brought one of my favorite bottles.
Thank you.
And I encourage all of you to you know, stock up on some snow wine, or in summer it'll be, you know, rain wine or whatever. But, you know, rainy day wines, they're a good thing. And this is a, you know, $8 bottle of wine. It's fantastic.
This is an $8 bottle?
Yeah.
This is great.
I know.
Wow.
I'm going to try to run the special again this summer that I did two summers ago. I need to talk to the importer, but and make sure that there's supplies and everything, but and do a nice summertime special mix and match on the Vieille Ferme. More to come on that. I'm still working on that. Screw caps. And this is a screw cap wine, the Vieille Ferme. So why do you like them? Well, there's no TCA. They're, you know, usually metal. Wine can still age with them because there is that word that we learned last week, eulage. There's still oxygen trapped in that wine, so it can still age in there a little bit. And bearing in mind that most wines with screw caps are not made to age anyway, and this is such an important, you know, reason why some people wouldn't choose to have cork where, you know, oxygen can pass through, blah, blah, blah. Most wines are made to drink tonight, you know, like 97% of all wines. And it doesn't mean tonight, you know, 6 months, year, but they're not made to drink in 15 years. So there's no reason for producers to even consider doing anything but something convenient and safe. And frankly, screw caps, relatively inexpensive. It's a pretty good way to, you know, keep your budget in check. Other things you're going to see, Stelvins. Stelvins are really, really cool. They were introduced in 2003. They are, if you ever have taken the capsule, the plastic capsule, the metal capsule off, and you see sort of a glass stopper, that's a Stelvin. Creates a hermetic seal, and so a barrier for oxidization and liquid. However, they're extraordinarily expensive, and there are no real compatible bottling machines outside Europe. So usually you'll see that. We had some Italian wines that use them, Austrian wines, things like that. So you really Central Europe and places, frankly, with some dough that can spend. And then, of course, there's synthetic cork and Zorks. Synthetic corks, of course, you want the aesthetic of the cork, but you don't want the risk of the TCA infection. A lot are not biodegradable, but now we are starting to see some. Another thing you're starting to see is it's not actually fake, although it looks fake. They're starting to use bamboo a lot for corks, so that is biodegradable, and that's kind of nice because there's a lot of concern. Of course, you know, where is all this stuff going? Of course, glass you can recycle, but can you recycle the other stuff? The answer is yes, happily. Before we run out of time, this Thursday, I am going to be daring and not cancel our tasting.
You'll be fine.
I've already seen things canceled for Thursday. I'm shocked. But anyway,
it's Maine, for crying out loud.
That, you know, that's Tim Cotton from the PD, man. He had it right today. It's Maine. Deal with it.
Right.
So the 15th of this month from 5 to 7, which is this Thursday, we will have our monthly tasting, of course. And we're going to be featuring bottles with a bunch of different closure methods, which pretty much makes it staff choice, which is kind of how I like it at this time of year. But we'll feature, you know, very few people have gotten their tax returns yet. So we're all still, you know, we'll probably be featuring some very, you know, wallet-friendly, cool wines. Also, we're starting to see some of the new vintages and new stuff. So I'm going to bring in some of those as well. So please come on out this Thursday for that tasting and join us next week when we'll be announcing that I have defeated Bob Cutler in this round of the Downtown Bracketology. And I'll be facing off, I guess, against Bill Green, who is a big fan of mine, I hear. So
yeah, there you go.
I'll feel bad about crushing him, too. Yeah. Let's make it happen, folks. Go vote.
Thanks, Eric. Eric May and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle every Tuesday afternoon. If you miss a segment or you just want to hear it again, and why wouldn't you? You go right to our website, downtownwithrichkimble.com. Click on the Message in the Bottle link, and they're all right there for you. Good snow day listening as well with a bottle of fine wine.